I'd like to share a particular perspective on Hazinu, a particular aspect of Hazinu. Then we could be here for the rest of the year talking about Hazinu, as people who know me well know. Hazinu is fundamental to all of Tanakh. And for those people who have heard my shiur on Hazinu before, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to do a little bit of Chazar, but it's not going to be all Chazar, okay? So if you know already, how many people know my shiur on Hazinu? Who knows my shiur on Hazinu? Nobody? I should have done my shiur on Hazinu. Oh my goodness. Really?
You can do it next.
I prepared a new one. We're going to do a little bit of the old and a little bit of the new, and we'll do as best as we can. Okay? You have a sheet? Okay, so let's get started. So to begin with, and I'm just going to do the part that's old very, very fast and just like add to it. And what I really would like to address is a pair of questions. Number one, why is this particularly here? Why is this discussion? As we have a discussion here of Bnei Israel being chote and onesh and reconciliation afterwards, this whole process, it very much seems on the surface to be the same topics that are discussed in the Tochacha, for example, right? The same thing of chet, onesh, aftermath, reconciliation with Hashem. It seems to be very similar to those. So I want to know two things. Number one, why is it being what suddenly came up that it's being discussed here? And secondly, and maybe even more importantly, but directly connected to that is, what is the nature of Hazinu? What is the unique perspective of Hazinu? What's it telling us? Or how is it approaching this topic of chet and onesh, etc., differently than, let's say, the Tochacha or other such discussions? Okay, everyone understand what I'm looking for here? Right? Okay, that's what I'm going to try to address. At the same time, I'm going to talk a little bit about Hazinu and in terms of another issue. Again, just very quickly, I don't know for anybody, maybe for some people it will be Chazar, maybe not, I don't know, but we're going to certainly, my point is to get to a different aspect of Hazinu than I usually talk about. So, to begin with, very quickly, Hazinu is, discussed on many occasions, Hazinu is really the Ramban or another Mufarshim already talked about this to a certain degree. Hazinu, in a certain sense, is the end of Sefer Dvarim, the end of the Torah. No problem. Hazinu is really the end. Vezot HaBracha is a kind of postscript. Okay, we don't have time to get into that, but if you read the Pesukim carefully, it's clear. And basically, it closes the circle of the Torah that begins in Parsha Breshit, okay, in Parsha Breshit, and it concludes with Hazinu. It's a cycle of Torah. And Vezot HaBracha is kind of like an afterword of sorts. So to show you just for a moment, like Hazinu, which is poetry, and several of the great Mefarshim, such as the Nitziv, talk about the idea that poetry, in poetry, the main part of what's said, most of what's said is said between the lines. If you look at any of the poems of the Torah, such as Az Yashir or Hazinu, you'll see how there's much white space, and that connotes the fact that most of it's between the lines. Okay? So we're going to look at quickly at what's in the lines. Okay? Just very quickly, three levels of meaning that are complementary. These are not alternatives. These are not three different interpretations. Either it's this or it's that. These are three that build one on the other. Okay? They are complementary. So, going from, if you imagine getting in on the street level and kind of seeing what's on the surface and then going down, 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 it would look something like this. On the surface, it talks about Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, it talks about Bnei Yisrael in terms of chet, onesh, and tikkun. Okay, that's the basic thrust of the parsha. Okay, on the surface level. That's, you just read the English, that's what it says. Not that you should read the English, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, mm-hmm. Beneath the surface, you look beneath that, the next level of meaning, which we're not going to really delve into in any great depth today, but it's very, very much there. The next level of meaning is that it talks about Adam in the sense both of Adam and Chava, and Adam in the sense of mankind. Okay? That's the second level of meaning. And it brings us back to Parsha Bereishit, and there's so much about that. So much. I'll just give you an example or two. Towards the beginning of Hazinu and Pesukim Yud and Yud Aleph, you can see it towards the top of the page. Yimtzaeu b'eretz midbar v'tol yilel yishimon yisoven yivonanev yisrem kishon eino kinesha yair kinol gozalav yirachev yifroz kanafav yikachev yisrael evrato. The only two places in Chumash where we have the word tohu and lirachev, which are, these are rare words, only twice in all of Chumash, both times they come together here, one pasuk after the other, in Bereishit, in Parsha Bereishit, in the same pasuk. Remember, the two words come together in the very beginning, the very end of the Torah, right? V'artai tatov avo v'chol shal apnei tohom v'ruach alvim rachefet apnei amayim. So clearly, it's bringing us back. Everyone understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, two words appear only twice in the whole Torah, and both times together, and this pair of words that come once in the beginning of the Torah, once in the end, clearly there's a connection. In fact, if you go through Hazinu, you'll see that every word, every phrase, kim'at, brings us back to Parsha Bereishit. Okay, starting with Hazinu, Hashamayim, Vadaver, Tishma, Aretz, Mefi, right? Shamayim, Ba'aretz. And one thing after another. It talks about, for example, in the Onesh, it talks about, in the Onesh section, it talks about the idea of the Onesh, it talks about imchamatzo chalei afar, the fury of those that slither in the earth, in the dust, right? Which is a clear reference to the Nachash, and the Onesh of the Nachash. So on all these examples, and again, we can multiply it many, many times over. The main Onesh, the primary Onesh of the Eitz Hadad, the thing that man is warned about, if you'll eat from the Eitz Hadad, what's going to happen? What? What's going to happen if you eat from the Eitz Hadad? B'yom ha'chamin, mot tamut, right? Death. Right? B'yom ha'chamin, mot tamut, Adam is warned, and the end of Hazinu, we come to Pasuk Lamed Tet. Ani amit v'achayeh machatzi v'ne'erpa. Okay? Hashem says that I both wound and heal. Right? I give death and I bring back to life. Okay? Which is the antidote. That's the cure of the onus of the Eitz Hadat. So we have the same thing, right? This whole thing of chait, onish, tikkun, but this time it's talking about Adam, meaning Adam and Chava, and mankind in general. Okay? That's level two. Yes?
Where did you say the snake reference was?
It's when it says, in chamato chale afar, I don't know if it's on the page necessarily, but, yes, in Pasuk Chav Dalet. The end of Pasuk Chav Dalet. Okay. So again, there's so many examples we can bring. You know, Yichutz Tishak El Cherev, the sword that's outside that causes death, and so many more. Again, it's like almost every phrase. But that's level two. Level three brings us closer to our real topic. Okay, this is really where we need to pay attention. But each one builds on the other, and each one needs the one before it. If you notice, please take a look at this big box. You will see that there is a word that keeps on coming up inexplicably, keeps on coming up in Parashat Hazinu.
Tzur,
right? Again and again and again. And many years ago, I was learning Parashat Hazinu, and I noticed that there's all these tzurs. I didn't have the good edition with the bolded, you know, version of the keywords, but I noticed that like, every place you go, tzur, tzur, tzur. Hashem is referred to as tzur several times. Hatzur, tamim, palo, right, for example. And there are plays on the word tzur. Ebefes, hatzur, vazuv, and so on. There are so many tzurs or variations on the, you know, plays on the word tzur. It keeps on coming up again and again and again. Hashem is referred to as the tzur, as I mentioned before. This is the first time, in other words, after this in Tanakh, we find Hashem referred to this way, as the tzur, as the rock. But this is a new thing when we come to Parshat Hazinu. Right? This is the first time we have it. It's not like Hashem is referred to that way throughout Chumash. All of a sudden, Hashem is referred to the Tzur and talks about Tzur and Tzur and Tzur and Tzur. And I had no idea why. No idea why. But it's important to notice things that are going on in the text, even if you don't have an explanation. It's good to just notice them and put them away. And then Bezer Hashem, down the road, you know, could be a day later, could be an hour later, could be 15 years later, whatever it is, eventually, you know, hopefully you understand what it's about. So we come now to the third level, and again, there's a tremendous amount about this. I found later that Chazal allude to this idea that, and the big, in any case, the third level is that it alludes to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's about Moshe Rabbeinu, and let me just explain why. Again, it's about Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of Chet, Onesh, and Tikkun in the same way, along the same lines. In other words, if you ask, what is the Eitz Hadat, what is Moshe Rabbeinu's personal Eitz Hadat story? Right? What is the time where he doesn't obey God? What is the time that's decreed that he's going to die and he's going to be exiled, just like Adam and Chav, right? The hitting of the rock, right? Hitting the rock. And who can tell me in Hebrew, in biblical Hebrew, the hitting of what? The Sela. And we have a different answer. The Tzor. So if you take a look at the two boxes below, you'll see there are two stories of Moshe hitting the rock. Right? Moshe hits the rock twice. Once it's the Sela and once it's the Tzor. Okay? And the difference is that the Sela, right, when he hit the Sela, so it was a Chet. When he hit the Tzor, it was a mitzvah, it was what God commanded, right? The first time it was the Tzur, and the second time it was the Sela, okay? Now we all know, the famous Rambam, we know this in general, that the definition of Tshuva Gemura is, we have the same scenario, the same situation, right? But instead of doing the wrong thing, you do the right thing. Correct? Yeah? I make up this Rambam, this is a real Rambam. So the point is, the point is as follows. For Moshe Rabbeinu, what would be the tikkun for him? In other words, the chait is the hitting of the rock, hitting the sela, right? This is his personal eitz hadat that causes death and exile, where he didn't obey God exactly, etc. We have, this is the chait. What would represent correcting that? Right? What would be the redeemed version of hitting the rock? The tzur. Right? He has something in his life which it's not a correction of it because it came first, not after. Right? It's not a correction of it. But what represents the idea of taking that chait of the sela and transforming it, redeeming it, would be the scenario of the tzur. So the tzur, I'm suggesting, and I think Chazal say the same thing actually in the Mishnah Chumah. Again, we're not getting into details tonight because we have other things to deal with. But again, the point is that it seems to me that the Tzur that is scattered throughout Parshat Hazinu, right, is Moshe Rabbeinu's, that's the icon for him of his being able to fix what happened. And that's his plea, that's his like almost silent plea in Parshat Hazinu, is the personalization of this idea of taking the chait and onesh and being mitaken. That's the third level. Okay? That's the level of, in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the personal element of Moshe's Shira of Hazinu. Okay? Deep breath. Okay? Now that was a very short version of the shir that I would have given if I was convinced that no one here had heard it before, but I wasn't convinced that no one here had heard it before, so we're not going to do everything else. We're going to move to the new part. Okay? So, as I said before, what I want to address, and again, we have to keep this in the back of our minds, even though I'm going to erase it. We keep this in the back of our minds. We're going to focus on level three. And what happens is the following. If we look on the bottom of page one, of side one, if you look at the bottom of side one, you'll see that right before Parshat Hazinu, we read the following. Vayomer Alehem. Moshe says in Parsha Vayelach, last week's Parsha says to them, to Bnei Israel, Ben me'av eshrim shana anochi hayom. Lo chal ol latzeil v'lavo. V'adonai amar ilai lo te'avor et ha'yarden hazeh. In other words, it goes back to the fact that Moshe is about to, what is he being told? You know, what is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that it's time for the onesh to be carried out. Right? It's time for the gzeirah to be carried out. For him to, in fact, not go into Eretz Yisrael, and instead to die in Eivar Yarden. Right? That's where we're holding. That's what's going on. Vayomer. And then it goes on. And then it talks about the idea of Hazinu and how he's going to teach them Hazinu. And he says, why am I teaching you Hazinu? Because I know that after I die, what's going to happen? You're going to do these things wrong. You're going to be chote. There's going to be this onesh. And Hazinu is going to be the Eidah. It's going to be the testimony. It's going to be, right? We know that throughout Tanakh we have this image. We have this metaphor of Hashem and Bnei Yisrael as a husband and wife, right? Hazinu is the ultimate, I told you so. Right, that's what Hazinu is. Don't take that the wrong way, please. But in any case, you understand what I'm saying, right? Hazinu is about, Hashem says very clearly, Hashem says, I know you're gonna do these things wrong, and there's gonna be this onesh. It happens, you're gonna remember Hazinu, and you say, ah, Hashem told us so, right? I understand why this is happening. And that's what Hazinu is about. And it tells us two things. Okay, there are two things that we get from this introduction to Hazinu. And it's very, very important. Two things that we get from this introduction. Number one, and this is really the beginning of the answer to the two questions that I started with. Number one is why now? Why is Hazinu here? And part of the answer of why Hazinu is here, part of it is to close the circle of the Torah. But part of it is also because now is when Moshe Rabbeinu is being subjected to this onesh. Okay, and we'll see that this Hazinu is in a sense a reaction to it. Okay, is in a sense a reaction. Number two, in terms of the nature of Hazinu, how is Hazinu different than the Tochacha? And again, we're going to deepen this over the next few minutes. But the basic answer is that the Tochacha, please listen very carefully because this is really key, the Tochacha and similar Nevuot look forward. Hazinu looks backwards. Okay, what I mean by that is, the Tochacha is to tell us, don't do this, because if you do this, or you know, this is how you should act, because otherwise, and to tell us what's going to happen, warn us, don't do it because then this is going to happen to you. But Hazinu is about explaining why Hashem did what he did. In this case, what he did to Moshe, in part, and in part, why Hashem did to Bnei Yisrael, what he will have done in the future. Right? When it happens, after there is this onesh, this korban, that the Torah tells us, right, don't, you know, behave properly to avoid. It's a warning. But Hazinu is not about a warning. Hazinu is about, after the fact, understanding why Hashem did what he did and did it in the way he did. Okay? It's an explanation of Darkei Hashem. It's an explanation of how Hashem operates. You say there? Okay, you understand? Okay. And that's really, if you read the Pesukim carefully, starting from Parashat Vayel, starting from Perek Lamed Aleph, you'll see this very, very clearly. It really permeates the entire Hazinu. Hazinu constantly is talking about, he's talking about what Hashem did and understanding it, not understanding it, Darkei Hashem, etc. Let's please turn to side two. And here I'd like to suggest, based on the Gemara, I'd like to suggest a very specific aspect, an element, a dimension of Parshat Hazinu, okay? A particular aspect. It's not meant to be the whole thing, but it's a thread that runs through it. The Gemara there in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Chet tells a whole story. We're not getting involved in the story, but it talks about how there is individuals and the whole story, but what happened to them, and when they were taken out to be killed, it says, B'shashi yatzu shlashtan tzidku alehem et hadin. They did tziduk hadin, meaning that they accepted the justice of Hashem, what Hashem was doing to them. Tzidku, you know, tziduk hadin, like when a person dies, God forbid, and relatives say tziduk hadin, that accepting Hashem's justice in what happened. And it goes on to say what each of them said. Hu amar hatsur tamim pa'alo. V'ishto amra el emunah ve'en avel. Bito Amra, Gadol Eitzav Rav Halila, Asher Einecha B'kuchot, etc. Amar Rebbe, Kama Gdolim Tzadikim Halalu, Shenizdamnu Lahen Shalosh Mikraot Shal Tziduk Hadin, B'shat Tziduk Hadin. It was the time for Tziduk Hadin, and they came up with these psukim of Tziduk Hadin. If you look at the first two people in the story in Avar Zahar, we're not getting involved in the story of Avar Zahar because we're not learning that, we're learning Hazinu, but the point is that here we have in the Gemara what the psukim of Tziduk Hadin are, right? We're looking at in a Siddur, etc. But this is the source. This is where Chazal tells what Tziduk Hadin is. If you look at the first two of the three psukim that the Gemara quotes here, the Gemara quotes three psukim, Hatsur Tamim Palo, and the second is El Munav Ein Avel. Where does this come from? Where does it come from? From
Hazinu.
Well, guys, we all know Hazinu by heart, right?
Yeah.
There you go, because that's what it says in the Torah, right? Hashem says to Moshe, "Blamdap ne Yisrael siman b'fihem." And Mom says we're supposed to know it by heart. In any case, okay. So the point is, these two phrases are from Parashat Hazinu. Okay, the first two of the three are. And what does Gemara say? These are the psukim of Tziduk Hadin. Now let's just flip that for a second. What is the Gemara basically telling us then? What is it telling us about Hazinu? What is Hazinu? I'm not saying exclusively, but one of the things that Hazinu is Tziduk Hadin, right? Tziduk Hadin. Whose Tziduk Hadin is Hazinu? So on one level, it's B'nai Yisrael's Tziduk Hadin. It's telling us how we should be Matzika Tadin when these things happen to us. But in a more, even more immediate sense, you're absolutely right, but I'm saying, but there's a model for that, and the model for that in terms of the present, that's in the future, the immediate is, who is being Matzika Laba Tadin?
Moshe.
Moshe is being Tziduk Hadin. Why is Moshe doing a Tziduk Hadin in Parashat Hazinu?
He's getting his own.
Because now is when he's getting his onus. Now is when he's dying. He's saying a tzidduk hadin about himself, right? Usually say a tzidduk hadin about a relative who died. Here, Moshe is saying about himself. He's saying tzidduk hadin on himself, on the din that he received. And that, I think, goes a long way towards explaining what it's doing here and what its nature is. And as it's when this is happening to Moshe, Moshe is serving as a paradigm for Bnei Yisrael. As you said correctly, when Bnei Yisrael experience these things, and they're supposed to be Matzik Alav, we're supposed to be Matzik Hadin in this way, but the role model for that is Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do here? He's Matzik Alav et Hadin. He says that Hashem's Din is Din Tzedek. But I think that there's something much deeper. Not exclusionist. I just would like to take it a little bit further and explain in a little bit of a deeper way. In the beginning of Hazinu, it says, Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Gimel, Ki Shem Adonai Ekra, Havu Godel Elokim. Right? What does that mean? So Moshe is going to be Korei B'Shem Hashem, right? Moshe is going to be Korei B'Shem Hashem. What does it mean to be Kari B'Shem Hashem? So this is a very important Yisod. I apologize for those people for its Chazar, but it comes up all the time, Imal Yisod. If you take a look, you'll see that this expression of being Kari B'Shem Hashem, we recognize it from Parsha Kitisa, for example. You see on the left-hand side. Vayered Adonai Be'anam V'yetzei Mosham V'yikra B'Shem Adonai. Hashem is Kari B'Shem here. And what does Hashem say? Vayavor Adonai Be'anam V'yikra Adonai. And this is I'm reading the Pshat way, the way that the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam and Rav Saigon and all the Pashtunim say, it's that by Hashem is Korei, leaving aside the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yitzayim, Adonai El Rachum Chanun Erech Apayim Rav Chesed Ve'emet. Okay? In other words, what happens here when Hashem is Korei B'Shem Hashem? What does he do? He teaches Darchei Hashem. Right? That's what being Korei B'Shem Hashem is. Okay? You'll notice that it's repeated in Bamidbar, Vatai Yigdalna Koach Adonai Kasher Dibar Talei Mor. If you put together the two, and then Adonai Erech Apayim Brav Chesed, Nosei Avon Bafesha, etc. In other words, we put together these two presentations of the Yud Gimel Midot, of the Darchei Hashem, and you look, ki shem Hashem akra, havu godel elokeinu. That's vayikra b'shem Hashem, together with vatai yigdal na koach Hashem. Everyone see that, right? You put the two presentations, the Yugel Mido together in Shimon and Bamidbar, you get what it says in Dvarim here, ki shem Hashem akra, havu godel elokeinu. Okay? In other words, what I'm saying is that it's teaching about, sometimes it's learning about, sometimes it's being in touch with, but it's basically learning slash teaching about Darchei Hashem. Pasuk that we all know, Shvo chamatcha el goyim asher lo yida'ucha v'mamachot asher b'shimcha lo karav, right? Everyone recognizes this pasuk, right? It actually appears twice in Tanakh, more or less the same form. But here, what is it? So if you take a look, there's a tikbolet, there are two parallel phrases. El goyim asher lo yida'ucha and v'mamachot asher b'shimcha lo karav, right? And if you notice, El Goyim is parallel to Baal Mamlachot, right? Asher is parallel to Asher. Lo is parallel to Lo. And what are we left with? Right? Yida'ucha is parallel to what? B'shemcha Karau. So what does it mean to be Kari B'shem Hashem? Right? It has to do with Yidiyat Hashem. It has to do with knowledge of God, of understanding of God, of understanding Dark Hashem. Okay? Let's see, you see it clearly from this pasuk. In any case, this runs throughout all of Tanakh. Again, okay.
But then they align, like, just because they're last words.
No.
Last words in?
No. Not because of... Let me show you a little slower. Okay. They are more or less the same idea in different words. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? El Gimash Lita Ucha. They're parallel phrases. Thing is, so if you just match up what equals what, right? El Goyim and Baal Mamachot are parallel, right? The different nations and different kingdoms. Again, there's a difference of nuance, but it's the same basic idea. Asher certainly lines up with Asher, right? Lo lines up with Lo. What are you left with? Yida'ucha lines up with B'shimcha Kara. So to be Kori B'shem means to... He's talking about Yidiyat Hashem. Okay? Okay? So to understand what it means that to be Kari B'Shem Hashem. And again, where we have Kari B'Shem Hashem? We have many places. One of the major places by the Yud Gimel Midah. Right? We're by Kari B'Shem Hashem and it's the Yud Gimel Midah, it's the description of Darchei Hashem. Okay. We don't necessarily have time for everything, but I want to get in the most important things. Let me turn to... Okay, where it says... Dvarim Paraklam and Bet Pasuk Dalet. Okay? Because this is really the crux of the matter. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say when he's Matzik Alav Ha'Avin? When he says it's Sidur Kadim, when he gives this justification of Hashem, of Darchei Hashem, the way Hashem operates. What does he have to say? Right? What is it they're saying that explains the justice of Hashem's actions? Right? And think about it. I mean, after all, Moshe is talking about, you know, the destiny of Bnei Yisrael in general, but he's also speaking about his personal fate. And if we think about it in any kind of, you know, just looking from the outside, it seems tremendously unfair. Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu is punished in the way he is for Mepharshim's struggle. What is it that Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong? Right? And that justifies this. And Moshe Rabbeinu here is explaining why it's fair, why it makes sense. And that's as a model for how Hashem operates in general. And I think that Moshe Rabbeinu has something very, very important to say here. And that is the following. And this is the key. Dvarim Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Dalet. Does everyone have it? It's about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way down the page. Okay? It's like the next to last full box. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alog. And this is Tzidek Hadin, right? This pasuk is Tzidek Hadin. This is it. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alog. This is what a person says at Tzidek Hadin. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alog Kichol Drachah Mishpat. El emuna, and this is what the Gemara of Arzah refers to, Atzur, Tamim Palo, Kichol Dracha Mishpat, El emuna vein Abel, Tzadik v'yasharhu. There's a lot to say about this. I refer you also to the Ramban on this Pasuk, but I want to just make the following point. Hatsur Tamim Palo, right? Hashem's ways are perfect. Moshe says, Ki Chol Drachav Mishpat. I want to focus on this phrase for a moment. Ki Chol Drachav Mishpat. There are two ways that you can translate this phrase. And I'd like to suggest that perhaps we should emphasize one over the other. I'm not saying they're not both true, but one of them I think is the key to the Tzidduk HaDin here. Please look at the board for a moment. I just want to make this very clear. The key word is kol. Okay? And the question is how you translate. One is to say, ki chol drachav mishpat, meaning Hashem does X, and Hashem does Y, and Hashem does Z, and all of them, X and Y and Z, each and every one of them is just. Right? That's the simple way of translating. That's the more obvious way perhaps of translating. There's another way we can translate it, which I think is maybe even truer, maybe even conveys a deeper truth. And that is ki chol drachav mishpat, meaning that in order to understand how darchei Hashem are just, we have to look at kol drachav. Not just one piece, we have to look at the totality. Okay? That when you take everything together, when you take all of Darchei Hashem, it's Mishpat. Let me explain what I mean by that. And I'm going to start with an example. An example that Moshe Rabbeinu, I believe, gives. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Lulei Kas Oyev Agur Pen Yirakru Tzareimo Pen Yamru Yadenu Rama V'lo Adonai Pal Kol Zot. There's different ways one can understand, like much of Hasinu, but I'll give you one way of understanding. It doesn't really matter for in terms of, it's an example, go in this direction, that direction, it doesn't matter. The point is like this. Hashem says, I would let, you know, I would just let the enemy destroy Bnei Israel already. They really deserve it. But, lulei kas oyev agur, Hashem says, so to speak, I'm afraid that what are they going to say? They're going to say that Yadenu Rama v'lo Hashem palakozot, that it's us, we defeated Hashem, we defeated Hashem's people, and we're triumphant. What does that tell us? It tells us that in a particular circumstance, it's possible that there's more than one factor in play. It's more than one thing at work. That it could be that if we focus in a narrow sense, like about person X or nation Y, or whoever it is we're thinking about, we look at the fact that this person really deserves something, either good or bad, whatever the case may be, it goes in both directions. But this person deserves a certain fate. And it doesn't seem to be what he gets. That's not what Hashem seems to do to them. And what Hazinu is telling us is, what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, I believe, is, ki chol drachav mishpat. You can't look at just one piece of it. There are other factors that go into play. Sometimes it may be that this individual is getting better or worse than they really deserve it, judging them as an individual, but that's because Hashem is more concerned about the other consequences of that happening. It could be that Bnei Israel deserve a certain defeat, but Hashem is going to save them, not because they deserve it, but because otherwise it's going to be a chilul Hashem. Because there are other things in play, other goals that Hashem has in mind that override it. And therefore, ki chol drachav mishpat. And you have to take into account. And there are many psukim in Hazinu that talk about lina kam v'shileim. Hashem says, death is not the end. There's also ani amit v'achayev ve'im yadi matzil. No one can be saved even in death. So the person may not have gotten what they deserve while they're alive, but then there's skatametim, or there's afterlife, or whatever it is. There are all kinds of ways of settling the score. But why doesn't Hashem sell the score right away? Because maybe there are other considerations. Maybe there's also a factor of chilul Hashem, a factor of some other goal that Hashem has that supersedes. Right? Everyone understand what I'm saying? Right? This is ki chol drachav mishpat, and this is the for example, where it says in Pasuk Chaf Zayin, specifically in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu. I think it's very interesting that Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Hey, if you look at the two parallel boxes, Pasuk Hey in Dvarim and Pasuk Zayin in Shemot Lamed Bet, you'll see the following. Shichet lo bana mumam, Dori Keshut Al Tol. The word Shichet is very interesting because I think it comes from Shemot Perek Lamed Bet, Chet HaEgel, Chet HaEgel, again, where all the stuff, Kitisa, the Yugil Midot, by the brother of Moshe, Lech Reiki Shichet Amcha Asher Helita Meretz Mitzrayim. And Chet HaEgel is very relevant here because if we look at the Gzera against Moshe Rabbeinu, so when we look at it in a narrow, from a narrow perspective, we look at it in terms of what does Moshe Rabbeinu deserve or not deserve? So it's very easy to conclude Hashem is being so unfair. Does Moshe Rabbeinu really deserve this? Does Moshe Rabbeinu deserve to not go into Eretz Yisrael after everything he's done for Am Yisrael? Does he really deserve after everything, all the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, all the near perfection, Moshe Rabbeinu deserves to die and not to go into Eretz Yisrael? But if we go back to Chet HaEgel, so there's an idea which is very important here. There's a Midrash Tanchuma on the bottom of the page, a Parsha Bechanan, that says that Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem to be allowed to live and go into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem says to him, I'm sorry, there are two gzeirot. One gzeirah is that B'nai Yisrael, I'm going to destroy B'nai Yisrael, I'm going to wipe out B'nai Yisrael. And another gzeirah is that I'm going to kill Moshe Rabbeinu and I'm going to go into Eretz Yisrael. I can only negate one of them. I can't negate both. I can annul one, but not both. What does that mean? Hashem can go back on one, but not on two. Well, it's a limit. What does that mean? The answer is that a chet ha'egel, ki shichet amcha, right, going back to Shmuel Perek Lamed Bet, a chet ha'egel, in Parsha Kitisa, Hashem says to Moshe, Bnei Yisrael have this idea that it's all about you. They see you as being central, and what happens when they think that Moshe died? Kizeh Moshe Aish, Asher Alanu Meir Tzitzrayim, Lo Yadam Me'alo. Moshe Rabbeinu's gone, let's make an ego. Okay, I hope we understand it, but... And what is Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mecheni Na Misifrach Asher Katamcha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, so the problem is that they think that it's all about me and they're not relating to you, Hashem. So don't destroy B'nai Yisrael. Eliminate me. Get rid of it. Won't be a problem. Right? That's Moshe Rabbeinu's answer. Mecheni Na Misifrach Asher Katavta. And what does Hashem say? Let's not rush to that conclusion. Let's wait and see. A generation later, we come to Mei Meriva. And again, we don't have time for the whole story, but basically, the Torah tells us, as well as Sefer Tehillim, three different times that what the gzeir against Moshe was biglal chem, because of Bnei Israel. Vayitaber Adonai bi lima'an chem, v'lo shamai lai, v'yomer Adonai lai, rav lach al tosef taber lai obadavar zed. We're told this lima'an chem for the benefit of Bnei Israel. Vayaktifu al mei meriva, vayira l'moshe, ba'avuram. Right? Three times we're told that it's for the sake of Bnei Israel, because why does Hashem have to do this to Moshe? Because that's what Bnei Israel need in order to go on. Is it really fair in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu himself? Moshe Rabbeinu did such a minor thing and he had so much positive, so much good. How can it possibly be that it's fair? The answer is, ki chol racha mishpat. Then in terms of the yachid, in terms of the person you're talking about, Moshe Rabbeinu, taken in isolation, it's not fair. But Hashem will settle the score and give him sar. Don't worry about that. But why is Hashem doing it in the first place? Because kichol racha mishpat. Because it's not just about what happens to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's about Bavuram, Biglalam, etc. And after Mei Meriva, Hashem says, now I have to take you up on the offer of Mecheinina Misipcham Asher Katavta. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to die. So again, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, Siduk Hadin, right? El Munavein Avel, Tzadik V'Yashar Hu, that Hashem, Tzadik V'Yashar. Sometimes, it's only from the perspective of Kichol Drachah Mishpat, taking the whole, all the factors, all the drachim into account, not just one of them, that one can understand the Tzirk Hadin of it. and really understand the Darkei Hashem in a way that we can understand the justice of it. And that, I think, is the what Moshe Rabbeinu sets himself up as a role model, or at least acts in a way that provides him as a role model for us in terms of Tzir Kadin, and to at least to have an approach to Darkei Hashem and to Tzir Kadin, and knowing how to accept Hashem's justice in the proper way. And that, I think, is part of the perspective that we have here in terms of Parashat Hazinu. Okay, I wish everyone a Gemar Chatimah Tova.
Thank you.
And Bezer Hashem will continue after the Chagim.